Those who can, do. Those who cannot, take a class. You think I want to be here? I'd rather be sleeping or watching preseason hockey. This is Curtis Matthews' first example of a joke. Matthews, a tall man who fills out his blue button-up shirt, stands at the front of various rows of black plastic chairs filled with aspiring comedians, nonprofit workers, techies, and hobbyists. They look interested. Matthews takes to the mic, though his voice is fairly loud without it, the projection of a veteran performer. The makeshift classroom is the front space of the Minotown Community Center at 868 Kearney Street in San Francisco. Only a swatch of fabric separates the comedically challenged from an assortment of gongs and Filipino instruments. The basement, apparently, was also a former comedy club that went under once the boobs and butts came out at topless and bottomless clubs up the street on Broadway. Well, that's the excuse anyway. Well, it isn't much of a class, but it's free. This intro session is a Q&A-style teaser to get the comedy students ready for the semester, essentially reading the syllabus and discussing required texts. But Matthews makes sure to have fun with it. He chides members of his audience, his own potential, some pre-registered students. He self-deprecates, he nearly insults. He demonstrates comedic staples like the rule of threes, the impact of changing voice levels, and audience riffing. So, what's his secret? If you can stand up and not poo yourself, you win, he says. The laughter he gets is almost guaranteed. Everyone likes poop jokes. What you heard just now is an excerpt from a story by Amelia Williams for Express Magazine. She's talking about a college, a bit different than the one we're attending, called the San Francisco Comedy College, which aims to educate professionals, aspiring or practicing stand-up comics, or, I don't know, podcast hosts who are comedically challenged. Beyond the Story is a podcast that takes a deeper look at the stories published for Express Magazine here at SF State. I'm Jacob Tucker, and today I have the pleasure of welcoming Amelia to have a really serious and not funny discussion about whether or not humor is something that can be taught or just something you're born with. Amelia, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
How's your morning going?
It's going pretty well so far.
It's good. Okay, so why did you write this story? Like, what led you to write this story?
Well, funnily enough, that was the week that Boone and the editors wanted to have sections for the magazine.
Okay. Boone is our editor-in-chief, by the way.
Great guy. So Boone, our editor-in-chief, had sections assigned for everyone, and we had to pick one. And there was, I think, one for health, sex, sports, entertainment, you know, the pretty broad, normal categories you would see in a magazine, but they had one for humor. And I was really intrigued because we had been talking that we in Pub Lab, in our magazine class, that we wanted, you know, more humor, more vivacity in our pieces. And I thought, okay, well, then I want to challenge myself. I had never really written a humor piece so far at SF State, so I thought, why not? And my father, incidentally, is also a former professional stand-up comedian. So I was kind of born into a house full of banter and self-deprecation and making jokes at my expense. So I think that kind of gave me an idea of what I wanted to do. And I just kind of was Googling comedy in the city, and the San Francisco Comedy College popped up. And I thought, well, that's weird, because my father just started doing comedy in Chicago all by himself, no training, no college, so to speak, to kind of give him the tools that he needed to do that. So I thought, well, that's interesting. What does a college for comedy look like? Because most people think it's something that you're innately born with. You either have it or you don't. You're either born funny or you're just not.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was something that I kind of thought was interesting, too, because I didn't know that they even had, you know, like courses that you could learn how to be funny and that kind of thing. But the guy who was teaching the class, Curtis Matthews, he disagrees. So tell me a little bit more about him. Like, why is he teaching this class?
Yeah. So Curtis, he's actually a very funny guy. So that's good.
I'd hope so.
He has that down. Yeah. And he actually was surprisingly sincere in my conversation with him about why he started the college. I mean, obviously, he loves being self-employed. He loves making his own hours. Mm-hmm. You know, it's definitely not a 9-to-5, and I definitely like the idea of that. So Curtis Matthews was a professional stand-up comedian who started in the 80s, and he told me that he had initially gotten into comedy when he was in school as a kid, being the class clown, because he felt like it was kind of a defense mechanism, a way to preserve himself against bullies, because he said he wasn't like the best looking kid, he wasn't the wealthiest, he wasn't the most popular. So he thought, okay, well, my edge, my thing is going to be I'm the funny kid. So he kind of started manifesting that. And he worked as a professional comedian for a number of years. He was on Celebrity Rehab, okay. Apparently, I believe as a host. And yeah, so he's kind of worked almost every aspect of comedy and now has decided for the last almost 20 years, he's taught the school because he really believes that anyone can learn it. It's not about necessarily the craft, but it's about giving yourself the kind of confidence. And really, it's about believing that you can do it if you just try and making it kind of okay to just try.
So in that way, is it kind of like, I don't know, like I haven't actually taken like an improv class, but kind of like that where it teaches you not just, you know, rules and techniques like that kind of a thing, but also just giving you confidence, giving you the gusto, the belief in yourself, like that kind of a thing.
Yeah. So like that quote that you read about pooing yourself, that and that was something that I noticed with a lot of the students of his course that I talked to, that it's really about kind of just getting comfortable being on stage, being comfortable and standing by your ideas. Maybe they're terrible jokes, but, you know, you have people who are okay with hearing your really bad jokes and probably have their own bad jokes to share with you. So you're all learning together. But there is somewhat of a structure, so you do learn certain rules, like the rule of three, where you set up like you're going to talk about three similar things and the last one is totally different. Or how even you can say the same thing in two different voice tones. Like maybe you say something in a really low voice and then you say the same joke, but, oh, you modulate your voice way higher or something like that. Like, see, that even just that change in pitch can be a comedic trigger for some people. So there's some technique to it, but a lot of the class is just what he kind of calls like finding your voice. So just finding things from your life that are funny and incorporating that into jokes. Because most people, they really want you to be funny. When they go to a show, they want to laugh. They're there to support you, but you have to be willing to put yourself out there and kind of trust both yourself and the audience.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would love to try one of those techniques right now, but I have not found my voice because I have not taken a comedy class. So we'll have to hold off on that. But you actually went to this class, right? Or at least the introductory like course, right?
Yeah.
So like, how was it? You know, was it funny?
It was. I would say the intro class, it very much was like that first class in a semester where you're kind of like, you don't know anyone. You're all just kind of quietly waiting for the teacher to get there and officially start the class. And you're like, oh, I don't know what to expect. I don't know if this is for me. Maybe you're a late registration. Maybe you've been planning this. But it was very much just kind of Curtis talking with us, giving us a sense of what the course was going to be like. So kind of a week-by-week breakdown. He had a syllabus as well, which I thought was funny. And there's a textbook.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you do have to get a textbook for it and a notebook because you're going to be bringing in your kind of written content that you work on outside of the class, which he calls home play. So not homework,
yeah,
but home play.
It's not work, of course. You're joking around,
right?
Yeah. So how much is it to take this whole course?
So if you register at the intro class, because the intro class is free, then it's $329 for 6 weeks.
Okay.
So it's not exactly cheap.
Yeah. So in that way, it is like a college coursework.
Oh, yeah.
It's gonna hit your pocket.
Yeah, and it's like you better go and get your money's worth.
Yeah.
But if you pre-register, it's, I believe, just under $300. So it's $299.
Okay. So I guess, I mean, because of that, you know, it's not just like anybody on the street walking in, you know, who is going to be able to do that. What kinds of people did you see there?
Yeah, I was surprised by just the variety of people there. There was a gentleman from India who was there. There was a guy like in his 40s who was just a hobbyist. I met one of the subjects of the story, Aaron Mandel, as well, who I talked to. And he is a nonprofit worker, and he also works at Camp Tawanga, the Jewish summer camp,
okay,
as well. And I thought that was so interesting that he was coming to take a comedy course because, well, you know, why would you want to take that? Is it so that you can vibe better with the kids at camp? I don't know. But he said that he had already taken an improv course, and he thought that stand-up was kind of the next level of that because it's partially improv, but you also kind of have to have everything in your head ready.
Yeah,
you know, all sense. all your bits, so to speak. So he thought that that was challenging, and he got to use new parts of his brain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he had no plans to become a professional comedian. He just kind of wanted to get a better grasp on his own version of comedy and kind of take it from there.
Okay. Are there any other, you know, people that you talked to who kind of stood out to you?
Well, I did talk to a couple alumni who had taken his class before as well. And one of them stood out to me because his name is Kaiser Lieb. He's also featured in the story, but he really struck me because he is a software engineer at a tech startup. So I thought that, and when I was researching this course, I thought, oh, this is the kind of person that would totally go to this course because, oh, techies and business people aren't funny, right? They're starchy and stiff and like awkward and
cerebral and just
So you're like, oh, well, of course, you probably have no natural comedic timing. But talking to him, he also kind of just like everyone else was just excited to learn to maybe get his feet wet. He's now he told me that he is booking his own shows with his friends. So he's not only doing open mics, but he's also booking shows with other comedians and his friends and kind of getting out there into the comedy network here in San Francisco.
Okay.
Despite what you might think of, you know, his professional background.
Yeah, yeah. So he's not just using it for, you know, cracking jokes at the office or whatever. Like, he's actually doing stand-up comedy.
Yeah, so it's, he says that he would love to, you know, have it be a hobby, but potentially be a profitable hobby. And there's nothing wrong with that. And he sounds like he's well on his way. So there's, I think, a lot of different reasons that people would come to take a class, and they all get a lot of different things out of it.
Yeah, yeah. I think maybe for someone who feels like they aren't funny, you know, that's something that they might look for. This is kind of the interesting thing, like, you know, whether or not comedy is something that you can learn, right? So you talked to this expert. Her name was Lee Ann Jashaway.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, so you said she's doing something kind of similar to Curtis Matthews up in Oregon.
Yeah, so Lee Ann, I found also doing research when she was a source in a different article about kind of the intrinsic or not nature of comedy. Is it, are we born with it, or can we be taught, so to speak, to become funny and from a formulaic perspective? And Leanne is kind of in a similar line of work to Curtis. She also teaches comedy courses. She also does comedic motivational speaking. She does some joke writing. I know she's done some one-on-one sessions with business professionals for stuff like conferences, but she's very multifaceted. And what I thought was really unique about her is that she not only has taught her own Comedy College, but she has collaborated with the University of Oregon at Eugene to actually conduct research about comedy and how it plays a role in our social bonding, how we form relationships through shared sense of humor. She said that was probably one of the biggest determinants of if we will, you know, kind of mesh in a group mm-hmm. is what we find funny, what we make jokes about, because that also reflects our deeper values to a certain extent.
Like inside jokes and those kinds of things.
Yeah. Or, oh, maybe I'm from California, so my sense of humor might be a little different than someone that's from Virginia mm-hmm. or New York or South America or Canada.
Mm-hmm.
But it was interesting because she really believes that comedy and sense of humor is something that, because it's a bonding tool, we all have the potential for it, and that it's something that maybe we don't manifest as actively as others. So she believes that to an extent there is somewhat of a formula for manifesting your personal sense of humor, and very in the same vein as Curtis, she believes that it has a lot to do with confidence, with taking from your own personal experience, with learning the what she calls the 8 joke structures, which the rule of three and the voice tones and audience riffing, those kind of are all a part of that. Mm. There are a couple more that we didn't get into as much. But she believes that if you really study these tools and, again, you have a comfortable environment of people who are willing to give you feedback and are willing to give you that confidence and the just sense of comfort to try, that you can become funnier. And I think that has a lot to do with, because she didn't consider herself funny until she was in her 30s going through a divorce. And also, like Curtis, comedy was something that she used as a healing mechanism or a self-preservation mechanism, because she said that if she hadn't gotten into comedy, she would have been miserable, she would have dwelled on her divorce, but that it really helped her see the positive things in life, and it totally changed her professional career after that.
But as you discuss in the article, not everybody thinks that comedy is something that can be taught, right?
No.
You went to a comedy night at this bar called Trademark and Copyright, and you met someone there who would disagree with that, right?
Yeah, I did. So I thought, okay, now I have Curtis, I have Leanne, I have two people that have been doing this a long time and really believe in the efficacy of a comedy course, or just kind of formal learning, I guess, of comedy rather than just watching YouTube videos and stumbling over your own feet to do it on stage, so to speak. So I thought, okay, well, because my dad is also someone who doesn't really believe that it can be taught necessarily, and that you really have to have a natural ability, and that there are ways to refine it, but it's kind of, you got to start somewhere. And I wanted to get a real kind of working comedian's perspective, because the people that I had really talked to at the class isn't really for people who are going on track to become professional comedians. It is more of a hobbyist or on the weekends or part-time. So Kaiser, who I spoke to, is not planning to leave his day job anytime soon, even though he's booking gigs. Mm-hmm. And I talked to another woman that has performed at local comedy clubs here in the city, The Punchline and Cobb's, and she says that that was a huge goal of hers, and she's met it, and she's content if she doesn't become the next Jerry Seinfeld, you know, so to speak. So I really wanted to get the side of the story from people who are really out here performing, doing it, booking shows, who are part of the comedy scene, and what they thought, because I had a feeling it would be different. And so I spoke to Allison Hooker, and she said her name was Hooker, like the profession. And she was the MC for the show. She had her own little set at the beginning, but she also was the one who had booked all of the comedians. And she's a part of the comedy collective here in the Bay called Hella Funny. And she was like, I was like, so do you think that everyone can learn to be funny? And she was like, oh, no, 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 no. She's like, definitely not. And especially when you're just starting, you're probably going to be bad no matter what. So she definitely was in my dad's camp in that, you know, some people have it, some people don't. She had never taken a comedy course. She didn't really have anything to say about it. But I talked to another comedian named John Gabb, who was the featured comedian that night. And he was kind of on the fence. He'd also never taken a class. He kind of stumbled into comedy. He's driving for Uber, but was the featured comedian that night. And I spoke to him. And he said that he's had friends that have taken the comedy course. He himself can't afford it. But even though he said that, well, I don't necessarily think comedy is something that you can teach everyone, he did, ironically enough, employ a lot of the same things that Curtis talked about in his class. So drawing from your personal experience, because a lot of his jokes were about things that have gone on in his personal life. So like he had a friend that spiked one Tums in his bottle of hundreds of Tums with acid. And didn't tell him which one, so he's kind of been playing like Tums roulette because he has heartburn, so he takes them pretty regularly.
That is terrifying.
Yeah. Or the time he performed at a strip club and saw women putting money into all of their orifices at the same time. And these are things that a lot of people are like, oh, like that might not necessarily have happened to me, but this is like a real funny story. And a lot of the times people identify more with truths and personal truths rather than maybe a joke that was constructed to be relatable, so mm-hmm. to speak. But he also believes that, you know, that the class is a valuable tool for just building confidence. He thinks the class is useful and that it does help people give themselves permission to start. Because starting, it sounds like, is really the hardest step. Mm-hmm. For everyone. So he wasn't necessarily in favor or against it. He thought that it wasn't necessary, but okay. that if you can afford it, if you have the means, and if you have the time, then why not?
Yeah. So I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I my perspective has definitely changed because I came into this ready to not to, you know, speak down on the comedy college, but I was kind of like, this is bizarre. Like, why is this necessary? But he's taught hundreds and hundreds of people in these courses. I know a woman that's taken his course 3 times because she just likes coming back and having people to bounce content off of. And just writing, because that's a big part of it, is it gives you a place and a time where you actually are writing jokes, because for a lot of people, they might not have that in their 9-to-5 or day-to-day lives. Mm-hmm. And she also has done private sessions with him. So I think I kind of believe it. I really like the message. I think Curtis is a really nice guy, and I totally see his vision now kind of coming out the other end of just try, you know, just mm-hmm. be willing to be uncomfortable, be willing to have bad jokes, but you might come out of it being a lot more charismatic or funny or with the confidence to go to that open mic at Milk Bar or at Trademark and Copyright or at any of these little venues, because there is such a strong comedy scene here in San Francisco, and I think a lot of those people that are out there performing are not necessarily professionals. They're people just like you and me who are going about their lives, and they found something to do on the side that they really enjoy. So it was a very positive experience overall. Everyone was very optimistic, very encouraging, which I hadn't expected, because I think a lot of people think comedians are also very like negative, dry, cynical people. Mm-hmm. Because all they're really doing is complaining on stage, right? So I was pleasantly surprised. And I don't necessarily think I'll be taking the course, but I definitely see how it can bring a lot of people together and give them the time and the space to figure out, maybe this is not for me. Maybe I'll never be funny.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's kind of like, from my personal experience, like if I try to be funny, then I'm usually not that funny. But if I'm just, like, in the mood or whatever, like, then, you know, people laugh. And that's, I don't know if that's just because, like, people are laughing at my jokes or if they're just laughing at me because I don't actually know how to say jokes. But,
with
you know,
you rather
yeah,
than.
Yeah, with you. Me, you know.
Something Curtis talked about is that comedy is something that you have to work on, but it's something that not necessarily everyone has had to think about or actively work on to the same degree.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe you've had a great life, maybe you've never really had to be in a situation where you need to break the tension or preserve yourself or be able to deflect, say, on maybe negative things being said to you. So it definitely is a feeling. I think it's definitely something that everyone has said something funny at some point in their lives, be it intentionally or not.
Yeah.
And I think it's just a matter of if you're able to replicate that moment, if you're working on it, if you're not, and where you are, because you might be the funniest person with the worst audience. I don't think comedy is a step-by-step formula. I don't think San Francisco State is ever going to have a comedy class, and I don't think it's ever going to be something that you could get 3 credits for.
Well, you never know. I mean, if they can make money off of it, like these guys are. So.
Yeah, but I think it definitely helps people, and a lot of people, especially in this kind of climate that we're in here in the United States, humor is such a big way of how we deal with that. And some research that I did reveals that humor is a great way that we can relate our troubles to other people in a way that makes them palatable or helps people relate to them without making us feel sad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because again, so much of stand-up comedy is complaining or, you know, making fun of people to a certain extent mm-hmm. or commenting on how ridiculous the mundane things that we do in our day-to-day lives is. And people like knowing that other people feel the same way. So it's not, you know, only a great exercise in the stand-up or whoever's behind the microphone, you know, getting their feelings out or building their confidence. But I think it really helps any audience that's watching stand-up comedy feel like, well, there's one person out there that feels the same way or is able to make something funny out of something that might be tragic or uncomfortable.
So for those who are listening who do want to be more funny, are there any tips that you can recommend?
Well, what I took away from the class is if you want to be more funny, you just gotta practice. Maybe you keep a journal, maybe you write down observations in your day-to-day life. Maybe you think about all the awkward and embarrassing things that have happened to you. I definitely have a few.
Yeah, I do enough of that already.
So. Right? Yeah. And think about, well, how can I say this in a way that reminds people that they do this too, you know? Or just talk in a really funny voice all the time.
All the time.
That, just all the time. Just switch it up, you know?
Yeah, job interviews, you know, talking to superiors. Yeah,
yeah, just yeah. Break the tension.
Yeah.
Yeah, just think about, well, what is it about my life that sets me apart? And often that's what a lot of people find interesting or intriguing. I also think that watching stand-up and watching other comedians is a great way too. That's something that my dad made me do when I was growing up. He was always like, oh my God, we need to watch this episode of Seinfeld because this joke is so good. Or, oh, the writing on this episode of The Simpsons is amazing. So a lot of comedians and hobbyists, they really are always watching other people. They're going out to shows. They're, you know, getting up there behind the microphone, even if they're bombing. The more that you practice, the more feedback you're getting from the audience on what direction to go in next. So, or maybe you have $330 extra dollars running around and it's time to go take Curtis Matthews' beginner class.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, if I happen to find that in between my couch cushions, I will definitely head on over there and check it out. So, Amelia, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
So, for those interested in the comedy college we discussed here today, it's called the San Francisco Comedy College, and you can find more about it at sfcomedycollege.com. They offer classes ranging from the beginner stand-up course that Amelia attended to roast writing. I didn't see one for podcast writing, so I'll have to check back. But to read Amelia's story and other fantastic feature pieces written by the Express Magazine staff, visit our website at expressmagazine.org. That's expressmagazine.org. This has been Jacob Tucker, and I hope you have a wonderful day and that you don't poo yourself. See, that one was a callback.
Can I laugh?
Yeah, you can laugh. Thank you.
Nicely done.
Please clap.
See? You're learning.